like a wild man.
I want you to struggle, and I want you wrestling with them angels.
Here he is, from Auburn University, Bo Jackson.
The correct Jordan Hare Stadium time is 8:15. Your digital audio device is tuned into the Orange and True podcast, brought to you cordially by Sonic Tools, harbored by the good folks at collegeofmagnolia.com. Use any tool other than Sonic Tool, you're a fool. I'm Son of Crow, at Son of Crow 2 on Twitter. To one side of me, amateur statistician, the engineer, and credentialed member of the Auburn Beat Media, Ryan Starrett.
I just want everyone to think about yesterday after the Masters, there was an Alabama fan somewhere that said, "Roll damn Tiger." Just think about that.
Probably happened, which is a hilarious thing to say.
I guarantee it happened somewhere.
Oh, I bet it happened. I could search Twitter for that and find 500 tweets.
All over Birmingham.
To the other side of me, sitting next to Ryan, giving you the full Fort Payne ASMR, a man who has seen 311 10 times. I still have that written down. I'm still using it. A-U-G.
Was it?
You say, what's that?
It'll be at 11 in June.
Oh, man. Breaking news. Chief got some 311 ticks.
I did. It was hard. My internet went out.
They still have all the same members?
Yeah. They're all original members.
Nice.
From Omaha, Nebraska.
So about Sublime? They still got the same guys?
No. One of them died.
Oh. We'll try to have him on the pod. Greetings, George and Truthers. Tonight, we're going to talk basketball. Are we talking basketball?
The trivia question's basketball.
Okay. I hope we talk basketball forever.
We got a little breaking news on the basketball front that we can talk about, too.
Do we?
Yeah, you just told us something.
Oh, I mean...
Visiting?
To visit.
I mean,
we have breaking news at Austin Wally had thumb surgery.
Yeah.
Which maybe answers a lot of our concerns about Austin Wally.
Well, the hand issues didn't start when this supposedly happened.
It could not have helped.
No, absolutely not.
Yeah.
We're going to talk baseball, maybe. But we're definitely going to talk football. I'm going to break...
And golf.
I'm going to golf. That's true. I'm going to break my Lenten promise. I'm going to talk a little Auburn football.
Oh.
It is Easter week. It's Holy Week. Well, so I made it a decent amount. Just not talking Auburn football.
We'll just pretend we're all Baptists here.
Yeah.
We don't really do that.
But first, Ryan wants to do trivia.
All right. So if Chuma Okeke is picked in the NBA draft this summer, he will be the second youngest Auburn player selected in the NBA draft. Who was the youngest person selected?
Wesley Person!
No.
Was it Tony Douglas?
I'm not trying to let me finish the question.
Was it Tony Douglas?
It was not Tony Douglas.
I'm not trying to yell out the blurt out. Ryan, before the podcast asked me not to blurt out the answer.
Well, so. You're wrong anyway.
I knew that wasn't the answer.
Is it Marco Killingsworth?
No.
See, I thought Tony Douglas, because didn't he go after his sophomore year at Florida State?
No, I don't think. Because I think he sat out a year,
didn't he? That's right, he did.
And then he... I think I know who it is. And it feels like it's probably pretty obvious. Because Auburn doesn't have a lot of guys that leave early for the NBA.
Right.
That's
the thing. Actually, Chuma will also only be the second sophomore.
Is it Charles?
This guy was a sophomore.
Oh. Is it Charles Barkley?
It's not, because this guy was a sophomore. So that's...
Who were you thinking of?
Charles Barkley is who I was thinking.
Is it Chuck Person?
I don't think those guys left there.
Chuck may have played off for a year, as far as I know.
Yeah, and Wesley as well.
See, here's the funny thing.
I'm about to.
Actually don't remember this guy. I don't know this guy's name.
I'm about to be mad because it's the guy that's probably been in a lot of. He had a lot of scandal involved in his life afterwards.
Is it Chris Porter?
No. No. Chris was a junior when he got here, so.
Chief, when was your freshman year?
Excuse me. My freshman year was 2002.
Okay. This was your senior year of high school then. Does that help?
Maybe a little bit. So there's Marmaduke.
So actually, if you don't count Tony Douglas, he's also the most recent NBA draft pick out of Auburn.
That's true, because we don't have a lot of those cats.
Marquise did not get drafted. Jeez, wasn't Bryant Smith.
Would a position help?
Sure, throw me a position.
He was a point guard.
Wasn't Doc. He was a point guard after Doc.
This is the funny thing, is because I've never heard you guys say this player.
Yeah, yet. I'm not even Googling it. I'm just looking at other things on my phone.
Because senior year in high school, Auburn was not great at basketball. They were okay. because my Nate would have played with him.
Well, so I say that he was drafted in 2001, so he would have been drafted in your before your senior year of high school.
Oh, okay. So
drafted in
so
01.
He was on the 2000-2001 team, which was
the vaunted 2000-2001 team.
Who was that guy that
the year after the year?
He's the guy after who before now I would have said was Auburn's greatest point guard ever, which was Doc Robinson. He would have been the guy that took over. What in the world?
Did I win this one? Did I stump you guys?
You may have. Did he have a long NBA career?
I do not believe he did. Does it help if I tell you he was a second round draft pick?
No.
No.
Okay.
Nobody cares about the second round.
Right.
Unless Chuma's second round pick, in which case I love him.
Actually, you said Chris Porter wasn't drafted. He was.
No, I didn't say he wasn't drafted.
No, he was a junior when he got
okay,
here.
So he was drafted by the Warriors.
Yeah.
Second round, 55th pick.
Yeah, and he... I think he got cut.
Was still there?
Yeah, he got cut partially because I think he showed up to practice or in a throwback Celtics jersey. He went crazy. That was just not good judgment on Chris's part.
Well, he's shown a lot of not so good judgment. And
could you imagine wearing a different team? Anyway, it's ridiculous. But do you need hilarious
an
idea.
Is it time for an answer?
Give me a letter.
First name, last name.
Last name, first letter.
B.
Bryant.
Got him guessing, folks.
Bryant. Yeah, you got me guessing. I give up.
Go for it.
Jameson Brewer.
Oh, yeah! Oh, no!
Man, you're talking right now. James Jones was probably...
Oh, he knew it! He knew it!
Screaming
no!
into his phone.
James, he's probably going to text Chief bad words tomorrow.
Yeah, it's not going to...
Lydia probably going to be texting Chief
good
bad
gracious!
Words tomorrow.
Tell us about him. Who's James
this
Brewer?
Is pre-Auburn sports consciousness for me.
So he
did play in the league for a while.
He was the guy that replaced Doc Robinson, but they were like completely different players. He was a little bit...
He was pretty big for a point guard. He was 6'4".
He had some hair. I remember that. That's what I remember about him.
Unlike Chief.
Was he on the team? No. So, full disclosure, that would have been my junior year.
Right.
And Auburn wasn't that great that year, correct?
Don't look at me.
And I was actually playing high school basketball at this point. So
all wrapped up in yourself.
Yeah, so I was pretty wrapped up in myself. But I absolutely remember Jameson Brewer.
Jameson Brewer, American basketball player.
I've got a poster with him on it.
A point guard. Played 4 years in the NBA. So not as long as I thought. But I remember playing for the Knicks.
This guy.
He did play for the Knicks.
I'm so mad at myself.
This, again, pre-my Auburn consciousness, but not pre-my Knicks consciousness. This was some pretty awful Knicks teams, 04-05, that I was definitely...
Well, it's a Knicks team.
And he
in
did
my
not.
Yeah, I don't like the Knicks, but I like watching them lose a lot of basketball.
He did not play with my guy, Nate Watson. So
His NBA career average was 1.6 points a game, 1 assist a game, and 0.9 rebounds per game.
That's a good career.
He also played with Croatia's CC KK Sabona.
Oh.
The Hollywood fame of a team that does not have a Wikipedia entry. The Belgian team Dexia Mons Hano and the D-League's Bakersfield Jam. So he's been playing in Brazil. He's been playing in, most recently he played in the Ukraine for BC Odessa. Yeah. Been all over the place.
I've seen him
That's
since.
Friday Night Lights, isn't it?
Different Odessa, yeah. Sure.
Why, at this point, Knicks fans have got to be a dying breed, right?
There's a lot of them. And there's a lot of them who think that the Knicks are just a couple of moves away.
They have...
And they're super not.
Never.
Like, super not a couple of moves away.
No. They have not been good.
No, they really haven't.
For years. And I'm, like, talking most of my life.
No, one of the funny things about the Knicks
Mets
is...
Mets and Jets fans.
Even if you include, like... The 80s and 90s,
right.
They had Ewing.
Starks and
they
Ewing.
They still weren't great. Like right. they never.
Pat Riley was in the game.
They made
Isaiah Thomas.
They made one
play for the Knicks?
NBA Finals.
And played for the Pistons.
He was the coach of the Knicks.
That's what I'm thinking.
And
of.
It went.
And it did not
very wrong.
He actually drafted super good, but he did not coach well. Yeah, if you look at the Knicks, they made one NBA Finals with Patrick Ewing.
Yeah,
they didn't make the playoff with Kristaps.
They did not. They made playoffs with Kristaps more his rookie year with Melo, but that was more of a Melo thing, I think.
Melo. I thought, so remember when Derrick Rose went there, it looked like, I was like, man, the Knicks could actually do something here.
Look, that's what I think all the time with the Knicks. I'm like, hey, man, they got so-and-so and so-and-so, and guess what? They start drinking bleach, or who knows what else.
Phil Jackson, the...
He was. Now,
but that did not last kind of
just chilling somewhere.
Smoking weed.
Yeah. Somewhere. Okay. In a peyote tent. That might sound...
Sweat lodge.
Listen, what we just said is accusing a person of an illegal act, which is libel, but there's a podcast I listen to called Beyond Yacht Rock.
It's not illegal in California.
Beyond Yacht Rock has a section of their podcast called Casual Libel. And that's basically what that just was. That was our casual libel section of the pod.
Hey, it's which not we could illegal in
our casual libel section, our casual libel would probably be just like some people on this podcast who shall remain nameless. Opinions on why certain Auburn football players aren't playing as much as we thought. It turns out
that is more than casual libel. That is.
We're not going to talk about it because it was
downright slanderous.
The biggest doozy of rumors.
Man.
All right, so let's get into this, Ryan. Let's get into these show notes.
Talk a little golf.
All right.
This was probably the biggest weekend in golf.
Patton Kizzire?
Kizzire. Is there a golf tournament this week?
And Jovan Rebula. It's Jovan, right?
Yes.
Jovan Rebula?
Rebula.
Sure.
He's South African.
Yeah.
You're the world traveler.
Oh, he's from South Africa?
Yeah.
Jovan Rebula?
Got to have the funny accent.
He won a British amateur last year.
Yeah. So he is an Auburn student right now.
Yep.
And won the British Am last year. So when you win the British amateur, you get invited to the Masters.
Not a Brumbies fan, probably. Probably a Sharks fan. This is rugby league.
You're talking about Rebula right now?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He's a current team member, correct?
Right.
He's an amateur.
Yeah.
Right. That's what I'm saying. He's a student at Auburn. He plays on the golf team.
Wow.
That's a big reason our golf team is really, really good.
There's a guy on campus, Auburn students, who played in the Masters.
He's also the nephew of what, Jim Nabors? No.
Ernie Els.
Oh, Ernie Els. Okay. Sorry.
Also a famous South African.
Same thing.
Funny name.
You know.
How many South African golfers?
Yeah, so he had a pretty good Thursday. He was plus one. I mean, that's usually right about what the best amateur is going to be, the Masters. And even on the front nine Friday, even par. Backside, not so pretty. He had four doubles, which that's like me playing it somewhere not at Augusta.
Now, for the listeners at home, can you explain what par is?
What?
Par is average. That is what you're supposed to do.
I feel like everybody knows that one. That's pretty basic golf.
But yeah, so he ended up plus seven, missed the cut. Rough finish to the weekend, but still he got to go play at Augusta National.
Yeah.
So it's a pretty good weekend for him.
Yeah.
Patton Kizzire was minus six.
Patton Kizzire, not from South Africa.
Wow. Learned how to say his name. I thought it was Kizzire. I've been reading it backwards.
I think it's Kizzire.
Oh, that's probably right.
I have never been corrected on that.
Oh,
Kizzire.
That's fine. I didn't know.
Like, Josh Dubb, how do we
like
say
like desire.
I think I'm swapping, right. Interposing the R and the I.
I didn't watch much Masters, unfortunately, for a couple reasons, but...
I watched some...
We'll get to that in a minute.
Let me tell you, Masters, you kick that coverage up on Sunday morning like you did this year, I'll watch every year. Done by one or two. I had the whole day ahead of me.
That's not coinciding with Paris-Roubaix.
Local Auburnites had to be up early looking for tornadoes, looking for the polygons.
Yeah. It does take away from your afternoon Masters Sunday nap, which
should have been
a tradition unlike any other than afternoon Sunday nap on Master Sunday. We had to move that up to a mid morning nap, brunch nap.
Well,
nothing wrong with that.
Okay,
Tiger Woods won. I saw that. I watched the last.
Cheer for Tiger?
I watched the last four holes. I always cheer for Tiger Woods.
Cheering for golf. I don't know.
I was happy that Tiger won because it is one of those great stories where a man had everything, seemingly all that he could ever want, and then his personal life falls apart, and he has the ultimate in
by his own doing.
Yeah, right. I mean, he's doing bad things but succeeding. Then all of a sudden, his bad things catch up to him. He has this huge fall from grace. To the point where people finally, like, I was not wanting him to win those first couple tournaments after the problem. But then, it's kind of like, all right, man, it's getting kind of sad at this point. This dude hadn't won in years. Then constant health issues.
Three back surgeries.
Three back surgeries.
Black surgeries, wow. Like, man.
I'm watching the commercial behind
you. What are you watching?
I'm watching the commercial behind you, and it was
watching the
an American Express black card. Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, three back surgeries, and then.
Well, you know what back surgeries are usually associated with. So there may have been a little more than just the back surgeries holding them back there.
Is this some casual libel we got going on?
Oh, no, it's, no, that's not casual libel. Like, anybody that gets a lot of back surgery is probably addicted to painkillers. It's just,
oh,
that's
yeah, just yeah, yeah. He might have been.
So, well,
he went to rehab, yeah.
No, the incident where he was arrested?
Yeah, he was on all kinds of stuff.
Benzos and probably yeah. opiates at the same time. That's what it'll make
so he had,
insane. He's lucky he didn't die.
Right.
If that's the case.
He had
also lucky he didn't catch a four iron to the forehead.
Well, no, this is... Remember he got pulled over a couple years ago?
Yeah, sleep at the wheel.
That's the one I'm talking
yeah.
about.
Yeah.
I thought you were talking about the first incident.
Oh, no.
That's so, yeah. So you talk about a guy who went complete rock bottom and now has worked his way back up. So now...
He needs to shave his head.
Theoretically, he's learned his lesson.
Yeah.
He's a more humble, gracious human who made a mistake and is probably sad about it.
A lot of mistakes.
Now, that could be wrong. He might not think he did anything wrong. However, I like to believe that he did. I also am able to separate my sports fandom from me wanting everyone to be a good person.
Yeah, this is something we talked about in the group chat earlier this week. It's okay to cheer for dirtbags in sports,
if you
right?
Don't, like, if you don't, yeah.
You don't look at him as a hero, but you can still think, oh, he's my favorite athlete.
I don't...
I cheered for Chipper Jones. That's all you need to know.
Like I said, he married his Hooters girl. It's fine.
I mean, y'all probably loved John Rocker when he was playing for y'all. I mean,
My grandmother sure did.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, maybe. Not.
What are you getting at?
What did John Rocker do?
Look, I loved Rafael Palmeiro when I was a kid. Then it turns out he was roided up. Like,
you got a couple
anyway,
of
dirtbags
on your hero list, didn't you?
Oh, my hero list is full of guys who...
Just awful people.
Lance Armstrong, number one, with a bullet.
Yeah, that'll get you.
Emmitt Smith.
Look, Lance, though, I think he paid the price before he got caught with losing the one of the fellas. That's,
well, yeah, he mean living...
You should get a pass
living,
for the rest of your life.
Right? After having brain, lung, and testicular cancer all at once. Yeah, he did. He overcame a little bit of adversity in his life,
but
and then going on to win 7 Tours de France.
I don't personally have anything against Tiger. I thought I had two separate people tell me they cried.
I didn't cry,
and that I was like, why are you crying? Like, if this had been his first,
yeah.
This was his fifth one. I'm like, it's his fifth Masters. Fifth I'm like,
did you see Steph Curry tweet that it was the greatest comeback of all time?
Goodness gracious.
You just walk right into that 3-1 joke.
Like,
no, Steph, greatest comeback of all time probably was LeBron. Come back from a 3-1 deficit to your 72 win Warriors team.
But I don't have anything against Tiger. I just,
it was a cool moment for sports.
It's fine.
Cool for
super
the game
cool
of golf.
For sports.
I mean,
yeah.
Golf
most become
well,
infinitely
lot of
more
people. Relevant. Again.
Right.
Well,
a lot of a lot of people that don't watch golf are watching golf.
Oh, the
at
next
1 o'clock on a Sunday.
The next major championship.
Not always.
Your next major, your next major will be the most watched of
it's
that.
The,
major,
so here's
sure,
the thing: it's
sure.
the U.S. Open
yeah,
Pebble
right,
Beach.
That's right.
Which a lot of people were pegging. I mean, that's the U.S. golf course, and a lot of people were saying, "Oh, Tiger could win that."
Yeah, it's kind of a Tiger course. Yeah, he used to play really well at Pebble Beach. I used to watch a lot more golf. Tiger used to be a lot better, which
he needs to
kind of coincides.
He needs to shave his head.
He also needs
to. He's
got to
quit.
He also needs to putt. But you know,
he used to be a lot better.
He used to be a great putt.
That's what
I
thought.
That's
what
I
could
think
not
of him as
putt.
Being a
he
great
putt. The thing is, he was awesome outside of 20 feet. He could not make a 10-foot putt to save his life.
Yeah. You're listening to Origin True Podcast, your number one source for Auburn sports.
It's Tiger. It's Auburn Tigers. It's close enough.
Yeah, let's.
Well, I'm about to talk a little bit of cycling. So Sunday was also the Paris-Roubaix. Which
is there an Auburn guy in this?
No, there's zero Auburn connection
named
to the Paris-Roubaix.
Even Tigray, Alex.
No. Oh. I watched this on 3 different illegal streams until finally I used a VPN because I wanted to watch it in English.
There's nothing legal about cycling.
Are you casually libeling yourself there?
No.
Oh, okay.
Until finally I found a stream using a VPN that was in French. And so I watched the last, like, hour in French.
I've watched some soccer games in Russian. So
yeah, sometimes you got to do what you got to do. Because NBC makes it impossible to watch cycling in the United States. Anyway.
Can't you pay?
it's an astronomical amount, and their app constantly crashes. It literally doesn't make any sense to do it.
Use some of that, we've got Jared money.
Their app is the worst. No, even if I paid, it would still crash.
Yeah, it's bad. I paid.
No one I know who has NBC Sports Goal Cycling enjoys it.
League and it crashes.
So, my goal is to get Auburn sports fans this offseason to watch cycling.
Masters had other plans.
Here's how I'm going to do it. If you can't get into beautiful countryside shot overhead by helicopter, then you don't have eyes, because it's an amazing thing to watch. Now, when they cut away from the beautiful castles that you're seeing in Europe, you're watching men give everything they got for hours and hours and hours and hours on end. Way more exciting than NASCAR racing. I'll say that right now, because these are people actually like using their legs. And on cobblestones like Paris-Roubaix, just crashing left and right. Like, it's just carnage. It is just carnage.
I'll say my one thing with cycling is the daggum, because they're in the helicopter flying over them.
You hear the helicopter noise.
The constant buzz.
You hear a lot of helicopter
noise. I'll be asleep before I even know what happened.
And if you don't hear that, you hear the motorcycle noises.
Oh, yeah.
And, funny story from this, and then I'm done.
Sorry for the...
My favorite guy in the tour currently, by tour I don't mean Tour de France, I mean like the UCI tour, like the PGA tour, but it's a cycling tour. Anyway, a guy named Taylor Finney, an American from Boulder, Colorado. Really rad guy, like mustache. He has one of the better Instagrams on earth. Didn't finish the Paris-Roubaix. He was one of the favorites.
That stinks.
He's fine. He had a mechanical issue, pulled to the side, thinking that his team car would pull up next to him and stop, and he'd change bikes and keep riding. But the race is so chaotic, his team car just
left him, just passed him.
So he's just standing there on the side of the road.
Wow.
Yeah. Terrible. He was like one of their guys. Yeah. And they tweeted like, well, mess that up. Like, they tweeted that out. It's like one of the most ridiculous things I can remember seeing in sports. Is like one of the team members is needing help from the team car. He's wearing bright pink, so then like he's not able to be seen. Past him.
You ever seen anything like that before? In cycling?
No, I've never heard of anything like that before in cycling.
So this is like in the middle of a football game. your star quarterback loses his helmet and all of his uniform. And the training staff's like, well, guess you can't play anymore.
Guess you can't play. You're like, we have more helmets. Oh, no, we gave them away already. Like,
we got to keep going. Sorry.
We lost them. All right, so the guy who won, Philippe Gilbert, has won like every race but this race in his career. So him winning this is a big deal.
He's a real Sergio
Gilbert
character.
Like Bill Dautrieb's cousin, Gilbert?
Kind of. He's Belgian.
No. Well, it's still French.
Well, and this
he must be French.
Outside of, Wallonian. Outside of Belgium and France, very few people care that much about this race.
Oh.
But in those countries.
Is it in Belgium?
It's in, it goes from Paris to the tip of northern France, almost to Belgium. And in those two countries, this and the race last week in the Tour of Flanders are like the Super Bowl of cycling. The two biggest races.
Bigger than the Tour de France.
They're one-day races, so kind of.
Oh, okay.
They're longer than any of the days. This was like a 140-mile race.
That is insane.
Yeah. 225K.
It's like 10 times longer than you rode the other day?
Yeah, I rode 15 miles the other day. Speaking of which, I'm riding Bow Bikes Bama.
Oh, are you?
It's 60 miles, which is a long way.
From where to where?
It just goes in a circle. It starts at the arena.
Okay.
It is a 60-mile ride. I rode 15 the other day. And thought to myself, I can ride double this.
Then you got to ride
quadruple, yeah. So we're going to see. Pro might pass.
Was the first 100 rounds ago. Was the first? First.
Exactly.
Was the first one the only one where he like actually biked? Like,
yeah, the first one was the only one. First one was the only one he did like multi-day.
Yeah, he would like bike a length and then be done for the day and then go somewhere else.
Didn't he go from Auburn to Tuscaloosa?
Yeah.
Well.
He may have gone north of Tuscaloosa.
He biked up in around Fort Payne. So
He kind of went all over the state.
A detour then.
Yeah, I think he started up there. I think started near Fort Payne because there was a tornado that hit Rainesville, I believe. That's when he started.
And this one is just in Auburn. I think Brett Favre's gonna be there.
Oh,
so
Favre.
So I saw a picture of him riding a bike, and he's wearing a sleeveless Nike T-shirt. Oh, so
well, what else would he be wearing?
Was it
camo?
Do you think Brett Favre currently owns a shirt with sleeves? And now we're back to Auburn because Brett Favre beat Auburn when he was at Southern Miss twice. Which I think it's the last two times we lost to those guys.
Pretty much.
Mammoth's lost to him more recently than we have.
We almost lost to him this last season.
Well.
Speaking of Auburn last season, are we going to get any better? Ryan, tell us. A-Day, go.
Yeah, you were there.
Awesome. Yeah, so first of all, thanks for this almost year of
segue.
Thanks for this almost year of Orange and True. It's let me do a lot of things I haven't been able to do before, probably including getting a credential to sit in the press box at A-Day. Very thankful for everybody who listens.
Jeremy Roberts is in charge of that, I think. Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks, Jeremy Roberts.
I think. Oh. I thought I knew more than that. Oh, okay.
Well, never mind. Anyways.
Somebody is.
A-Day was cool. He knows. The press box has great views, by the way.
Oh, I was gonna throw that out there. Are they awesome views?
Were you in air conditioning?
I was in the air conditioning. Man, I didn't get sunburned. About that. That's the thing. A-Day is so much better when there's no sunburns.
Yeah. You have free food and drinks?
Free food and drinks. Got to go down to the field pregame.
Night.
Yeah. Man, if you read the post-game recap, I met probably the coolest person I've ever met.
Yeah, Ed Jones.
Ed Jones. If you don't know that name, you're not alone.
No. He may invest, but he's not the.
He's not the Edward Jones.
So, basically, when I had gone to sit down in the press box, it was kind of empty where I was sitting. And then left my stuff there, went down to the field, came back up for kickoff. Or not kickoff, but you get the point. And there was it was pretty full. There's an elderly gentleman sitting next to me. Got to talk to him a little bit. Found out his name's Ed Jones. He's 94. He covered,
Jones. Sorry.
He was actually a photographer for the Birmingham News starting in 1942.
Wow.
All the way until the late 80s, I think. 97 maybe.
How old was he there?
He was 94.
It's during World War II.
And he actually stopped working for the Birmingham News for about 2.5 years.
To go kill some, not some Nazis.
He was in the Pacific. So Japanese. He was in the Merchant Marines for a couple of years serving the country. Told me he was on two different ships.
Quote Cotton Hill here. So go ahead.
Told me he was on two different ships that got sank over in the Philippines. And, you know, just
who was
a day in the life.
Did you talk about sharks in the water?
No, I mean, it was the most casual, like, mention.
400 sailors go in the water that day, Chief. Y'all, that generation was tough.
June the 7th, 1945.
Tough. Anyway.
You'll never catch me in a life jacket again. I'm not butchering this, but it's the greatest monologue in the history of film.
It is.
Jack, cut that in somewhere.
Yeah. It's just Indianapolis.
So, yeah, anyways, I got to talk to him. He was a photographer for those 40 years or so. He would cover, I think he covered some Auburn games, but not until 1956, maybe, thereabouts, where the invention of being able to send pictures over wire was invented. Previously, he was just, you know, taking pictures and taking the roll back to Birmingham and developing it, and that's like a several-day process. But,
Are you interested in the Auburn game in a week? We'll show you the
picture. Yeah, I mean, just imagine that, guys. So he said once they were able to send pictures over the wire, he was like a full-time, he covered the Auburn Tigers.
That's cool.
So he did that for 30 years. He was
good. Did he ever, like, write?
I'm not sure.
Is he the original beat writer? Is that
Champ, talk about how you gave the guys the business today.
He had some cool stories about Shug Jordan, and he was one of the guys that Shug confided in when he was going to retire. Wow. And basically, he worked at the Birmingham News for a year and couldn't tell the Birmingham News that Shug was going to retire.
Wow. Back in those days, people would do that. Nowadays, that would be immediately tweeted out.
Couldn't tell.
Source close to the program.
Gus, if you're going to retire, don't tell us. Don't tell us.
Yeah, please don't.
he got to help Bo carry his Heisman trophy. I mean, and it was really cool. I mean, there were several people there that knew him and had worked with him years past, and more than one person told me that basically every cool Auburn picture from the 50s through the 80s, he took.
It's amazing.
And then once he retired from Birmingham News, he just kind of came and freelanced for Auburn and just was still around for another 10 or 15 years.
And he's 94.
94 and is as sharp as me.
And going to the game, going to A-Day games. Yeah. It's amazing.
I mean, and he's like keeping up with the roster. And, you know, he did have a this press box is terrible complaint. But, you know, well, that's how you know he's
anybody, really, he was probably used to the 50-yard line.
Right? Anybody who's been to the old one probably does have that complaint.
I mean, he was taking pictures when there was no upper deck. So.
Yeah.
Well, anyways, Mr. Jones, I just want to thank you. I guarantee you're not listening to this.
No, I bet he's a huge Origin Truther.
Okay, well.
Sorry for the coughing.
Got his internet radio going.
If you're listening to this, Mr. Jones, thank you. You made my first event as a media member. Absolutely amazing.
If you know him, and I'm sure Josh Black does.
Yeah. Josh Black was everybody, so.
Right, yeah, absolutely.
So, how'd the game go?
Actually, okay, so.
Go through each.
I saw some of it.
Each position group.
And we can kind of speed through a few of them. Because
defensive backs, go.
Defensive backs, they got burned a couple times, but that was mainly the second team defense. I didn't notice any glaring, oh, you got beat moments.
I think we should jump
and
right
losing Jamel Dean, that's good to see.
Linebackers, go. I'm literally hitting my hand like a
Popo or played a lot with the ones. I don't know. Who cares?
Yeah. Anyways.
Wait, what'd you say?
He asked me how to say it. I said,
Who cares?
I'm
a credentialed media member.
Yeah, exactly.
You get a pronunciation guide?
Yeah, he probably
did. He was flying all over the field. He looked more than comfortable. I don't think we're going to drop off too much.
I think his name's Poe Dameron.
Poe Dameron.
That's his name.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. All
right.
Because he was flying all over the field.
Yeah, he's okay, great. Very good. Flight.
Defensive lineman.
Derrick Brown is still a monster.
All our guys.
So is the rest of the defensive line.
Here's the thing.
They didn't play against the ones.
They played against the second Auburn offensive line.
I think it being an 8A game in a glorified practice and all, you would have to be pretty deep into coaching to really know how good anybody is in this game.
That's pretty true. Offensive line. How
basically, we can sit here and say, oh, they look really good, or oh, they didn't. That's all I can really
say. How did the offensive line do?
Because they're not doing anything
fine.
Interesting.
Did we look like we were going to give up 14 sacks to Southern Miss this week?
No, because either one of the two guys that could potentially start is mobile enough to avoid it.
Right.
So it doesn't matter.
And here's the other thing. Our second defensive line is a lot of those guys could start for other teams.
Oh, yeah.
So I actually do feel pretty good that our starting quarterbacks weren't just getting hounded all game.
Actually, Bo Nix got whistled down a couple times where, like, nobody
He definitely had that corner on the one where he called it was left.
Yeah. There's nobody there, and Gus just blows the whistle, and I'm like, okay, I guess we're done here. Like,
Gus has lost control of officiating this program.
The lady, God, what is her name? You weren't there, you didn't watch it, so neither one of you could. The sideline report.
Holly Rowe.
No.
Oh, I saw her. I did not recognize her.
She went to Auburn, and I helped. She lived with my friend's sister, and I helped the sister move into their dorm room together.
Tracy Wolfson.
No. I would remember that. big Wolf fan. Big fan of the Wolf. In fact, every time I'd see her at a game, I'd be like, hey, there's the Wolf. And then I'd give it like a howl. I don't know.
Is there a reason you brought her up?
He brought her up.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Talk about the wide receiver. I heard they were incredible.
Or wideouts. Yes, Seth Williams.
Oh, dare I say nasty wideouts?
Seth Williams, dude.
He's a monster. Basically got open whenever he wanted, and even when he wasn't open, he made every jump ball play just about.
So we're going to challenge Ole Miss for best wide receiver core in the conference.
Well, all the Ole Miss receivers are gone.
Okay.
So we may have. Seth Williams is great.
But it's hard to say because, you know, you're losing Darius Slayton and Ryan Davis. So
you're picking back up Eli Stove.
I mean, he was heavily featured in this game.
Stove had a good day.
Yeah, I had a wheel route in the first place. So that's always cool.
Over under 15 Stove cooking references that you'll see after every game.
The stove is hot.
Stove is hot. Stove is on. Stove is cooking.
I'll contribute to that. I don't feel like I can bet in good confidence.
Jack needs to go cut all these.
No, keep the coughs in and the train. Keep the train that somehow. Is there a train heading for my house? running backs. How'd they look? Jartarvis play a little bit.
Booby played. He was fine. He was Booby. He got 6 yards of carry or so. The one that really stood out to me was DJ Williams, freshman, who was going to App State until like a week before signing day.
Yeah, he looked good. I heard.
He wasn't, blazing speed away from anybody.
Yeah.
But he had great moves, and like he juked a couple guys out of their shoes and ran some people over.
Wow.
So gives Auburn another option. You know, kind of got three or really four guys if you count Cam Martin, which, you know, four others own your favorite.
Cam Martin looked okay.
I've heard a lot of people think that Cam Martin might be the start running back next year.
He could be.
I mean, you said that all last year, too.
No, apparently Gus really likes Cam. And then he started the bowl game. He was the starting running back in the bowl game.
Is this the same place where you heard that Malik would be the starting quarterback?
No.
Okay. Because I think he got a little bit of bad information on that.
No.
He looked okay.
Malik?
Also want to shout out Harold Joyner, who...
Yeah,
played every position. He was a running back. He was an H back. He was a receiver. I think he got like 7 or 8 touches in this game. I think, and he didn't even get to play Wildcat, which is where they've been, you know, practicing.
Joyner Cat. The new thing that everyone will hate is.
Yeah, he looked like one of those athletes who are like, oh, we don't really know what to do with him, but we're gonna get him the ball.
Yeah,
Gus loves those guys.
Yeah.
And we didn't have two of our biggest weapons in Anthony Schwartz and
Sean Shivers.
Lost a little bit of our speed for this game.
Busy with track. But losing the speed, we still kept it up tempo.
Yeah. I heard that the tempo was very quick.
Yes, especially
when Gus was back.
I noticed it most when Malik was quarterback, which I thought was interesting. I mean, they all played tempo a little bit, but when Malik was playing... They were really like first drive, ready to go, and that's why I think they scored on the first drive.
I'm now reminded why I brought up the Sutherland report, because she was trying to talk to Gus during play, and we were going so fast that like he couldn't like talk to her while we were like.
Gus didn't have any of it.
They sent Aaron Andrews down?
No, not Aaron Andrews. Thank you.
We'll get there eventually.
You helping me.
Was it keep helping you?
I can't believe I can't remember.
Was it Katie Nolan just out of the booth?
No.
Oh man, I wish. No.
Was it Cole Kublik?
What
was it, Cole Kublik?
No, Cole is very pretty, but this lady had a lot more hair.
Yeah,
so
at least some.
Oh, I can't remember.
So, yeah, Cole's having it.
Anyway,
all right, let's do the thing that we wanted to do from the beginning of the podcast that everyone's probably been waiting for. How do the quarterbacks look? How was Classic Malik?
He was fine. He had the first touchdown pass.
Yeah, right? So he threw a floater to Matthew Hill, like 40 yards.
A lot of coverage.
Yeah, I think it was a great play by Hill more than it was a great pass by Malik.
Yeah.
But Hill made another great play later in the game for a touchdown.
They let him throw.
And that's what I noticed is they were going to have all these guys throw.
Yeah.
And even they were going to be taking deep shots even when you shouldn't be
taking
deep shots.
This is the most throwing I've seen. Like, if you guys remember back to the 2010 spring game when we had Cam Newton, he threw like 5 passes.
Yeah, he was like 2 for 6. I think.
Like, everyone will remind you, he was 3 of 8, and that's why spring games don't matter.
Okay, 3 of 8.
Yeah, these guys threw a lot more, it seemed.
And they all looked fairly comfortable with it.
Especially Joey. They all ran a lot more plays than you're used to seeing in the
game. Right.
So.
I mean, I think that might have a lot to affect it. Maybe there really is not a ton of separation.
I really don't think there is between Joey Gatewood and Bo Nix.
Right. And he was waiting for somebody to have a bad game.
There's two at the top.
Neither one of them did.
There's two at the top, and they both played about the same.
And here's the thing. We didn't really get to see Joey Gatewood run.
Right.
A lot of people have been saying this.
Guys, Bo Nix is a dual threat quarterback, too.
He ran really well.
Yeah.
If Bo and Joey are passing about the same... Joey Gate was going to be the quarterback.
Yeah, so I think he
is bigger, stronger. I mean,
right,
and been in the system longer.
Right, that's the thing I think gives him the edge. Because
he's a redshirt sophomore, right?
Or redshirt freshman.
Redshirt freshman. Yeah.
But he did go through spring practice last year.
Yeah,
that's what he's thinking.
Right. So they're about head and head,
head to shoulders. Talking about height, but
they're
head and shoulders.
They're pretty equal. It's that. Year in the system that I think is going to give Gatewood the advantage, and not because not that it makes him better. It's just Gus is going to trust him more. So, they both look good. They both look confident. They both threw the ball well. I mean, I'd be happy with either one of them.
Yeah, they both got to take some deep shots, and they both were pretty good. I mean,
that's kind of the situation that I like being in with Auburn is that we might not know who the starter is. But we know that we have a starter. Like, there's not a guy. It isn't the situation
if you have two
of a couple years ago. Yeah, we're like, look, we're going to the Clemson game. We don't know who the starter is, and I'm not 100% sure we've got a starting quarterback on the roster.
It also makes me think that if Gatewood does not get the job, he's gone because he can play for somebody.
Oh yeah,
he can start. And
just a field situation.
Yeah. I could see that being the case as well. With a lot of the guys, actually, there's four quarterbacks on the roster. I see one of them.
It makes me wonder what's going to happen with Bo, because I don't think we'll redshirt him. You want a guy that good to play.
Yeah.
So.
Same with Malik.
So you got two guys the same.
He probably thinks he can play.
Right. I think Malik will
transfer. I think he probably could play at a not top 20 school.
Yeah.
Is Auburn a top 20 football team next year?
Yeah. I think we're like 16th going in the year or something like that.
No, I'm the sunshine pumper around here.
But, yeah, they both look great, and I'm excited to see where it goes.
So you don't think Gus has lost control?
No.
Now Mark Richt has lost control of Gus losing control.
Do you think, see, you didn't watch that and go, gosh, Gus is just so in over his head.
Gus looks lost.
I saw a couple people saying that, and I've never seen Gus look more confident. That's the funny thing to me.
Was it? How could you?
It looked fine. He was just like hanging out. He's going through practice. I don't know what you're supposed to do.
What is?
It's not even a game.
Was he wearing a suit and tie?
It didn't even. He wasn't even called. So their plays, I'm fairly certain, were just
scripted.
The entire thing would have been scripted. The guys got things they can check down to, but. I don't see how it could be lost because he was back there. He may have been calling in some stuff, but he was able to tell her what they were running without him. The sideline reporter that was there with him.
Winnie Nicks.
Without having like talked or done anything, he was, he could see it. He could look at it and tell her what they were doing. So I don't get the whole Gus.
So Gus isn't calling the plays? Is that what you're saying?
No, he may not have been actually in that game. I mean, who cares? It's a practice.
Last segment, we got to do hammers and nails, guys.
Oh.
Hammers and nails brought to you by our good friend, the Sonic Tools. Again, any other tool is just useless.
Do they even sell pneumatic wrenches? I should probably
look that. Hope so.
We'll find out. I'm not much of a tools guy. I don't know if you know that. But if I were to be a tools guy, it'd be Sonic Tools.
Yeah, Sonic. You got all your tool needs.
Plus Cherry Limeades.
They got Cherry Limeades?
No, it's a different Sonic.
Oh. Yeah, you're right.
All right, hammers and nails.
My hammer of the week. If you didn't know, there was a 7-on-7 game right before the 8A scrimmage.
That almost got me there.
It was actually really cool. And Charvin Bell, definitely my hammer. I think he could still play.
Wasn't he in the league a couple of years ago?
I don't know if he ever did, but he was definitely the best defender and receiver out there. Made some cuts that... weren't too different than the guys on the field.
Wow. I think there's maybe a little bit of difference between playing flag football and...
Well, yeah, of course, especially when Reese Dismukes is trying to tackle you.
Oh, well. He's quicker than Reese?
He's quicker than Reese. So, who, besides Tasharvin Bell, who is another standout?
Oh, I'm trying to remember his name.
Because I was following along.
Honestly, guys, so the quarterbacks were supposed to be Chris Todd and Brandon Cox.
Brandon Cox had to
back out, and I cannot remember who replaced him.
Jason Campbell.
No, he actually didn't play, though.
Oh, he was supposed to play.
He was a backup quarterback in 2001, around the same time.
So was Jason Campbell.
No. 2001. He was throwing darts, whoever it was.
James Jones is screaming at this point.
Blake Fields.
No.
Neil Cottle.
No. I wish it was Daniel Cobb, because Daniel Cobb should have never been playing. But Jason Campbell was actually a backup in 2001.
That's why I said that, Chief.
So he was like a junior backup. All right, Nail. Let's see. I feel bad
anybody
for
that
saying
cried over Tiger.
Yeah,
sorry.
I feel bad for calling this guy a nail, but whenever you choke on the biggest stage, you're kind of a nail. Francisco Molinari, man, that was hard to watch.
How many did he put in the drink?
He doubled two holes with a lead on the back nine.
He was still right there,
and he was still right there. And here's the thing: it's one thing to blow a lead in a major. It's another thing to be playing with the guy who's going to win.
Yeah,
it's another thing to be playing with Tiger Woods on a comeback when every single person on the golf course is just
cheering,
losing their minds.
Cheering against you, cheering for him.
That's rough.
You know, I saw a stat. I think it was Josh Dunn may have shared it.
Was it a golf stat?
Yeah.
And then it was.
The Tiger over the last three majors, if you add his scores, Tiger's like 5 strokes better than every other golfer. Like, it's not like this wasn't a fluke. Like, the last two majors, he's played really well, plus this one. He's actually been the best golfer on the tour the last three majors when you add them all together. Interesting. So he could be setting up another slam, a Tiger Slam.
Tiger Slam, that's what people do in the bathroom of the Sky Bar, right?
Oh.
I think we need to just
That's not a bad joke. Guys, our next episode is going to be a special edition.
And we're recording it right now.
Don't give it away.
We're going to record it tonight as well because...
Gotta keep the illusion alive.
Because a week from today...
We're going to time travel. Don't worry about it.
A week from today is the Ironman of Golf. And we'll probably be exhausted. We might record some audio during the Ironman of Golf to maybe to be interspersed with this episode we're going to record here in a sec. But again, Ironman of Golf is still going on. We're still raising money. We're not even close to as much money as we want to be raised.
And I want to raise more than Crow, so donate to IronmanOrangeAndTrue.com.
IronmanOrangeAndTrue.com, all one word. We actually had a couple $100 donated today to all of our links.
It's pretty good.
Which is pretty great. So keep that going. IronmanOrangeAndTrue.com. And if you tweet at us that you gave... And the amount you gave.
Like, or if you want to keep it private, just DM us.
Yeah, just DM us how much you gave. I actually don't need that because I can see who gave what. Yeah.
Okay. The person who gave, Twitter followers are.
Yeah, the person who gave the most, I'll announce it on the pod.
Oh, we want to give a bit. Do we want to say what the high mark is right now?
I don't have. I know what it is, but I don't want to do that yet because I want people to blow it out of the water.
Okay.
Just think of a number that's...
You have to be $10,000.
Think of a number that's over 99 and under 103. And that's your... You want to go maybe $50 more than that, and you'll definitely be the highest. So, okay. Listen. Right. You'll be on the pod. We'll say your name multiple times. I will write a parody song with your name in it.
Oh.
If you can,
whoa,
we will get you here.
This is like...
If you're in town...
Save this for the Patreon that we need to set up.
If you're in town, we will literally record a pod with you on it if you'd like it, like us to.
Or if you come down for a football game or a basketball game, whenever you're here, we will set it up.
We'll do whatever
you
want.
We'll get to sing a duet with Crow.
I'm just trying to raise money to help these kids.
Crow has a really cool wife. I like
it. Oh, thanks, man.
I have to. You got to be.
Are we giving that away?
No. One other thing.
Yeah.
If you're on Twitter and you live in Auburn, there is going to be a lunch at Byron Smokehouse.
Oh yeah, there's Auburn Twitter lunch on Wednesday,
hosted by Dr. John Carvalho.
Yeah.
And
I'll be there.
Does he go with the Yo or the O?
John Carvalho. It is Portuguese.
Right. It was Yo in Portuguese. The H O.
Yeah. Also, thanks, Doc. He gave me a little bit of pointers for getting to the press box. Him and Ferg, both of them helped me out.
Hey, guys. How do you pick out your... We'll say this for the next pod. Byron Smokehouse, 11:30 on Wednesday, April...
Yeah. Day after tomorrow.
17th,
right? So day after this comes out.
Yeah.
Yeah. I hope to see you guys there. If you walk in and see a bunch of random people look like they spend a lot of time on their computers.
My son might be with me.
Come up and say you're an Orange and Truth, or they'll know where to point you. All right. It's like we always say,
bonus.
Don't go to A-Day unless you're in the press box.